I'm here in the Abattoir Bar at the end of Edinburgh Fringe 2013, and I'm talking to somebody I wanted to talk to for, I think, about 15 years, and Wolfgang Hoffmann. A lot of people know of your work, actually, up here. If somebody mentions Aurora Nova or even you, they've heard of it, but I'm not sure how much they know you. So my opening question is, can you describe the boy Wolfgang?
Sort of a broad question. Lazy answer is that I'm a jack of all trades, really. I'm from former East Germany. And discovered dance as the medium of my favorite medium of expression early on, and studied dance in when the wall came down, basically in West Berlin, and then opened up a space in a squatted factory. Mm. In Potsdam. So I've been from early on a producer and an all-round kind of theater person, as well as a performer on stage. And my first coming to Edinburgh was in 1999 as a performer, and brought a show here together with a Russian company. It was a Russian-German co-production, and brought it to the Fringe. First had a miserable time, and at the end had some success, and got hooked, came back, and then decided to wanting to run our own space where we had control over technical facilities and had more of a shared experience with the fellow artists. So where basically the artists helped each other to. So I realize I'm rambling a bit.
Actually, my question was even more literal. I want to go back to the boy Wolfgang, kind of 5 or 6. When were the first clues that you'd be doing this?
I think I always was a very playful and expressive character, and wanted to be an actor to start with. You know, I thought I had from very early on, you know, I was in a nativity place, you know, age at whatever, 10 or onwards, also I think growing up in the GDR kind of formed me very much. I kind of bought into this whole kind of socialist solidarity kind of ethics, you know, and didn't care so much for possessions, and relationships is more important to me than anything.
You're doing very well, given how tired you are at the end of the Fringe. I'm going back in my memory to being in Slovenia in 1991 when communism had fallen, and in Ljubljana, the artistic community, you know, squatted in Metelkova, which was the old army barracks. As someone that's done that, what's that like, actually taking over, you know, a found space and then turning it into what it always ought to be?
Well, it's just you have a vision, and you realize it straight away. There's no waiting for applications, no for the right moment. It's the right moment is now. The right people are the people that you are with, and you just go for it, and you learn as you're doing it. And that's pretty much how I worked and started new things. Like for the rest of my career, really, I didn't have no patience for. The process is kind of every step of the way, and I've always been a starter of things, you know, that without inhibition, and a bit like it's like maybe I'm not as far-sighted or structured as other people. They usually come after me after I've started something and got the ball rolling, basically, and created crises, you know, where other people need to step up and help and come into their own. You know, that's kind of a way of operating that I found, that I do, and that sort of worked. You know, it's not that that I'm thinking everything through, and. Because I don't know half of it, you know, but I have the vision, and then basically excite other people to go with it, and that kind of worked, and that's how it started in Potsdam. We walked into it was literally the very first building we set our foot in, and there was lots of empty buildings lots of better buildings that we could have chosen. Buildings that were only half as ruined and had a functioning roof, you know, it's like the fabric that we the factory that we squatted was an absolute shell, and we had to do lots of kind of maintenance work to make it halfway safe and dry and so on. There was not much kind of research going on. It was just going in and starting and start like having a punk rock concert to kind of open the space up to get other people in. And so it's very much a learning by doing kind of approach. No inhibition, no kind of big fears or doubts to get in the way. Just start from now.
A friend of mine, I remember, said a few years back that, you know, an artist will only truly commit when they're free of commitment. And I pondered that thought for a while. And when I go back in my mind again to Ljubljana, Metelkova now is a really swish, really neat art centre that you pay to go in. And a lot of people say its finest work was, and actually I remember this being said, was when the local authorities cut the water off, the work flowed better. And it was only when actually everything was mended and fixed, they actually said it started to lose its edge. And so, you know, is there something about how that energy that's there at the start of something, how do you stop it institutionalizing and becoming, you know, the flow gets blocked?
I think it's absolutely true. Also true of Fabrik that I started. I mean, we got funding, first we got evicted from the original space, then had to squat another place, then got legalized, and within this industrial area where we then had moved, we built another four spaces, one after the other, and losing one, taking on another. So we stayed in this kind of pioneer phase for a long time, nearly 10 years. But then European money come in, we had developed all these spaces, other institutions had come in, and then the city theater built a brand new theater next to us, and then European money came in, and this whole area got developed, and the facilities were all kitted out, and now you have an enormous amount of high concentration of buildings there, of venues, and it's rather dead, you know. It's in terms of if you look at the its possibilities, but. Having said that, I think, and yeah, I also remember fondly the performances we staged in the ruined kind of industrial buildings. They had a great edge and excitement about them that you can't recreate in something that's kind of nice and gentrified. But at the same time, I think we need those facilities too in order to do something. And in a way, it needs the next generation now to kind of revolutionize the spaces and bring fresh blood and work into it. I don't think that having money means that you make boring work. It's just another stage of development, really. And it always will need people that go past those institutions and create their own spaces that will be, but I think it's, you cannot stay in that kind of pioneer phase forever. That's right. What I think, or hardly anyone can.
Now, a lot of people that come up to Edinburgh now, they hear about this legend, and this legend was called St. Stephen's. And, you know, I guess I remember being, someone that went there. You did bring that spirit to Edinburgh, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, although I also find it quite amusing that, it was a great thing. Aurora Nova, it was the program we called, which ran in St. Stephen's. And there was a special spirit in amongst the companies that we presented there, because it was a strongly curated program. The companies had an interest in seeing each other's work and were inspired by each other. And then also the way we had it set up structurally meant that companies benefited off each other's success. And they were not in competition with each other. They had the changeovers there to help. They cooked for each other. There was a lot going on that made it very friendly, there was a collective kind of feel to it, and an identity with the space that was unique. Also, because we resisted the temptation of expanding, and also our state in that church, I think helped to have that kind of concentration. But on the end of the day, it was another venue with a nice program, But I think it only became legendary when we stopped doing it,
and in people's
memories it's now like they remember the fond moments. But I mean, we also had shows that weren't intended well, and you know, and there were in every program I remember there was like three or four really actually two or three shows that were absolute highlights and special. But then there were other shows that were good but they weren't all great, and that's like how it seems to that people remember it now, which is kind of sweet.
And we're sitting in the abattoir bar, you know, in the underbelly, and some people say it's not an abattoir where we're sitting, we're in a meat market. This is where the big four venues are. Did St. Stephen's need to be a little bit away from all of that for it to function? Could you have done Aurora Nova in Bristow Square?
Not sure. Yes, it certainly helped to... That you needed to discover. St. Stephen's is a little like Summer Hall is now, you know. That there is a place to gravitate to where you feel where artists meet. Although I've been here in the abattoir a lot, and also like it's an artist hangout, you know, people identify with the underbelly, or you go to the Assembly Bar and people identify with there. Like it's just Edinburgh's just too big. To kind of you need to kind of be in one or other club, you know, and to see the same people and to have like in-depth conversations and so on. So I think and they did it rather nice here. I think it's a good place.
And I guess when you're referring to that pioneer spirit, is it now for other people to recreate that legend? I mean, what's the naive question? Why isn't there another Aurora Nova like St. Stephen's here this year?
But I think what Andy Fields and his colleagues did with Forest Fringe carried a lot of the spirit forward.
Right.
And what's happening in Summer Hall now in terms of programming is a lot that kind of has... that has a lot of the kind of what the Aurora Nova like sensibility. So I don't really see a need of kind of... bringing it back because other people are doing it. I mean, yes, it's this the actual artist sharing scheme hasn't been copied, which I find a bit of shame. But Free Fringe is an alternative. I actually don't know what the economics of that are, how people are affording a Free Fringe. I always liked, I mean, that was part of the appeal for me coming from this kind of subsidized kind of German system where you have some companies that just don't need to care about the audience and ticket sales, and I liked the fact that you had to have convinced people to buy a ticket to your show, and otherwise you'd starve, you know. And so in that sense, I like this part of Edinburgh.
Final question. I'm going to invoke the name of an American writer, one of my favourites, Kurt Vonnegut, who in one of his books talks about the timeline, and he talks about everybody can stand themselves at any age on the timeline, and in this particular book they're in the middle of their life somewhere, and behind them is, you know, 1996, there's a large wardrobe, that's the wardrobe we bought, that was the new computer, and it's all your stuff going right back to your birth. And I think with theatre makers, that's all your productions and all of your work. So as you stand here in 2013, you've got a lot of stuff on that line behind you. You know, how do you ensure you're not dragging that along? You know, what how do you manage to look ahead and be a pioneer still?
I've always managed to kind of reinvent stuff. Like, I get easily bored with things, you know. That was part of the reason why I stopped Aurora Nova, was that I thought I was kind of over the productions that I've presented in the earlier years, and people expected me then to kind of program the same kind of stuff, and what I thought was the new shit was like not yet appreciated, you know. The last few years I've meddled a lot in contemporary circus. Before it was more physical theater, before there was more dance, so who knows what's next, you know. But I get fired up about work that that I didn't know existed 20 years ago, you know. And so I don't have a problem with baggage, I don't think.
So Wolfgang Hoffmann with new shit still to come. Thanks very much.